Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, cloudy skies, continuing chance for some rain, and a high only around maybe 57 degrees. Kenosha right now is at 50. It's 51 in Burlington, 50 in Milwaukee, and 51 in Racine. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department dealt with a reckless driving scenario last evening after a concerned citizen called 911 about a truck heading west on Highway C near Highway MB in a reckless fashion. The witness stayed on the phone with the dispatcher to provide updates on the suspect vehicle and where it was headed. That helped deputies to find it outside of a home in Trevor. 44-year-old William Hess, the driver, still seated in that vehicle, according to a news release, arrested for operating while intoxicated, 10th offense, as well as numerous traffic citations. Charges pending against a Racine man after a deadly hit-and-run crash that occurred last Friday night in Caledonia. Police say that a man was on a bicycle ride with his son along Douglas Avenue near Middle Road when he was struck from behind by a car that sped away from the scene, leaving pieces of debris there. Good Samaritans did life-saving efforts until paramedics arrived. They rushed the victim to Ascension All Saints Emergency, but he did not survive. Caledonia police then did follow-up work, and that's what led them to the suspected driver. Over the border in Zion, Illinois, police still seeking a car and its driver from a hit-and-run incident that killed a 15-year-old pedestrian from Kenosha and injured another person. This was on Green Bay Road south of 9th Street. Surveillance cameras nearby showing a silver or gray-colored car with damage near the right front center portion of the grill. After striking both victims, police were told the driver pulled to the side of the road, raised the top on the convertible, removed evidence from the car, and then drove off. Online postings by family and friends identified that teenage victim as Randy Harrison, a graduate this year of Indian Trail High School and Academy. His sister, Tanya Cleaver, in a Facebook message says, quote, "Someone needs to come forward, please," unquote. Nine people hurt over the weekend in Waukegan. An SUV backed up into a restaurant during lunch hour. Three people inside the eatery seriously hurt, hospitalized. Driver and the child in her vehicle suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Woman was cited for improper backing and reckless driving. There are more than just a few strangely designed intersections in the city of Racine, and that can create some unusual traffic patterns, sometimes to the point they need a little bit of help. And that's where Carmel Avenue, Columbia, Clarence Streets all kind of meet together. Some additional corrective action is going to be taken regarding those.
Combined going out Clarence or Carmel, both of them combined still carries the least number of vehicles a day through the intersection. So we signed it, you know, we left this uncontrolled and this figuring the only people really who use this approach are the people that live here. It's primarily as low volume because it's exit only, just where the church is right here. This is one way to the east.
That's John Rooney, the city engineer, talking about that bizarre intersection, which is right near the curve on Kinsey Avenue, said that the raised triangular median that was put in there after some pavement work back in 08, well, it didn't quite solve all the problems. Some accident data showed that there was a little problem that popped up recently and that their recommendation was to put stop control along the northern leg, keeping Columbia open on the east.
Predominant movement, people are coming up there. It's uphill. Don't really prefer them to stop, particularly on that grade in the wintertime if we don't need to. And then not only stop control, both those legs in the north approach on that island, we can put stop signs there below and then put supplemental signs saying that traffic from the left does not stop. And then we'll add those supplemental signs even on the south approaches as well. Traffic from the right does not stop.
The Traffic Commission supporting the recommendation of the signage at what Chairman Charlie French labeled one of Racine's many unique intersections. Pleasant Prairie's Police Department, as of tomorrow, going to be undergoing a full assessment of its policies and procedures and management operations and support services by a team from the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Accreditation Group. 235 standards will have to be met to gain that accreditation status. A public information session will be held October the 5th, 6 p.m. at the police department. That'll be a chance for the community to provide some input regarding their police force. In Kenosha, the city doing it, as well as many other municipalities around the state. And now Mount Pleasant's Plan Commission has heard about it. A requirement of more detailed financial information regarding construction costs on new projects for developers, encountering what the past history has shown to be these same kinds of businesses coming back later on, and then challenging their assessments. Dan McHugh is the assessor in Mount Pleasant. He's friends with Kenosha's assessor, Pete Krestowiak. He told the village board, Did McHugh, that it's kind of a trial balloon at this point.
We're all having the issue with the big box stores and other commercial properties where they're appealing their assessments, claiming that they are worth half or less of what it costs to build them. So if we have that information of what it costs to build a brand new structure, whether it's a warehouse or retail or whatever, that's information that we can use, and it would be hard for them to refute in court saying, well, yeah, we spent $15 million on this new building, but it's only worth $5 million.
McHugh explaining Kenosha's been successful so far in its demands for that information about the buildings. He said this all began with the Meyer Project. Those kinds of stores cost maybe three times as much as the assessment for building.
You know, Meyer came into Kenosha promising to build a $20 million building and all these things, and then they assessed it for $8 million before it was fully built, and they came to Kenosha and said, no, that's what it's going to be assessed when it's done, not when it's half built. So they're in, you know, been in court. Meyer is in court on every assessment in the state of Wisconsin, and their buildings are less than 2 years old.
Noting that the recent announcement about Foxconn had taken place, McHugh added that Mount Pleasant and other faster-growing communities are trying to get out in front of this while admitting that there's been no legal challenge to any municipal requirement. The Mount Pleasant Village Board set to meet at 6:30 tonight at the Village Hall. On the agenda, among other items, the presentation of the 2016 audit, also consideration of extending the contract for assessor services from 2018 through 2022. There's approval of the contract for bus service to cover this year. Approval of professional services contracts with seven companies related to Foxconn. And there's a closed session regarding Foxconn, the county and the state DOT involved in that, regarding property acquisition. Incoming Racine Mayor Corey Mason wants to avoid starting any big kind of political fight with some of the folks he needs to accomplish his agenda, specifically most on the Common Council and what's been support so far for building the Lakefront Event Center. Mayor Dennis Weiser is the interim mayor at this point, accusing both of the candidates in the recent election of spreading misinformation about that project. Mason talked with our partners at Gateway Public Radio, and he says he stands by his belief that this project should be scuttled.
I think people need to accept that it's not going to happen, and we need to move on because, based on our previous conversation, there's a number of jobs that are coming to the area, and I really want us to focus on getting people trained instead of arguing with each other about a hockey rink.
Mason scheduled to take the oath of office on November the 7th. The mayor-elect and the interim mayor are expected to meet soon to talk about the arena issue. Coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon at City Hall in Racine, the Finance and Personnel Committee is set to meet. On that agenda, proposed collective bargaining agreements with the Racine Police Association that'll cover the years 2018 through 2020, and permission to apply for a $200,000 EPA cleanup grant for the 526 Marquette Street building that's been used for motocross of late, a Phase 1 study showing the need for the cleanup of potentially hazardous contaminants there. Caledonia's Community Development Authority meeting at 5 o'clock at the Village Hall. On that agenda, reported problems with the old Western Publishing Company building, also the old Olympia Brown School. The former has come up in citizens' comments at different board meetings in recent weeks, and the latter is targeted for demolition eventually by Racine Unified. 2018 proposed budget for Caledonia's got a public hearing at 6 o'clock tonight. That spending plan calling for a 2.27% general fund levy increase, a tax rate of $7.04 per thousand of assessed value. The budget is up for adoption as well, with a special village board meeting that follows the public hearing. Also on that agenda, an ordinance to have the governance of all the utility districts in the village under one commission, and possibly naming one of the trustees to replace outgoing President Bob Bradley when he leaves effective November the 6th. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.